I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Keith Santos, Denver's going to run out the clock. Tyson will hold it on the far side. Those who are left rise as one. And the buzzer will sound that this game is over as Golden State has split their first 10 games as they lose by a count of 129 to 104. And we'll try to right the ship on Sunday night when they welcome those very same Indiana Pacers.
Well, that was anticlimactic, Pasta. Steven Rizzotto in the house. This is Warriors This Week. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone. An interesting week for the Warriors. Last time we talked, Dan, a lot was going down. Game 7 of the World Series.
Oh!
Warriors are riding high. Just stumbled a little bit in Milwaukee. And since then, it feels like the world has turned. Everything's changed. Are you feeling any different? What's going on, man? Good morning.
Well, you know, it all started, I think, a week ago today when they embarked on that quick little two-game Midwest two-step, and it started against Indiana. And I think we talked about, yeah, well, Indiana, you got this easily. They'll spank Indiana because Indiana's not good this year. And they lost Indiana. And that was
they
sort
of the game against Indiana.
But that lost Indiana, I think, of all of the losses since then, they're now a 500 team after a 4-1 start. That's the one that sort of stands out. Like, huh? Maybe this is a bit of a paper line. Maybe you're not as good as we thought you were.
Yeah, I think that's the game that Milwaukee, I understand. But, like, these last two losses in a way, they don't feel good. But, like, Denver's a really good team. Denver's, without Curry, if you don't bring your A game, that's a house of horrors. You already beat them once. Like, that's a team that can and will absolutely hammer you. You know, you look at the Western Conference, Dan, and as far as point differential, net rating, you know, Denver's one of the tops. Obviously, OKC's the top. Houston's up there with San Antonio. That's a team that you've got to bring your A game. Sacramento was a team that you would like to have won that game. You would have liked to have seen your young players kind of go out there and take it from Westbrook and DeRozan when they don't have LaVine, Sabonis, and Keegan Murray. But in a way, that was a game that I could understand why they lost. But to me, you're right. Like, it highlights the Indiana game. Because if we're sitting here talking about a 6-4 team, maybe if you win against Milwaukee, too, without Giannis, you got 7 wins. It's a completely different feeling here on Saturday morning than the one where Tim Roy is coming back in, who, by the way, was awesome again last night. And he brings the whole 5-5. You know, you split the first 10. It's just a different feeling.
Yeah, and I get it. The scheduling has been really challenging, and it's condensed in the beginning. The first 20 games of the season, the NBA schedule makers, Adam Silver, did not do the Warriors any favors. this is challenging. But to hear Steve Kerr this early in the season get to the podium and say, we're exhausted. I mean, I get it, because nobody's played more back-to-back games. I think they have three, and we're only, 10 games into the season. Nobody's played as many back-to-backs like that of the Warriors, and we already know going in that this is an older basketball team. But really, we're going to go with, we're spent. And Butler's back is already barking. You know, Curry's got the flu. Are they a product of unfair scheduling, or is this just an old basketball team?
I mean, I think it's a bit of both. I think the unfair scheduling has highlighted just how old they really are. You know, it's like, I don't think that they're in as dire of a situation as a team like the Clippers, who just look old, but they're only eight games in. You know, they have an extra two to make up. The Warriors are a team that, when they don't have their big boys, they're going to struggle. And that's something that I hope can change over the course of this season, because it just has to. Like, last year when Curry was out, it didn't feel like they have a chance. And that's kind of what, like, last night to me, I don't know how you felt watching. I mean, really, you could just pick a quarter. Like, outside of, I think, a five-minute stretch in the second, that game was dominated by Denver. The Warriors had no chance in that game. They went down 10-2 off rip. Steve Kerr called two timeouts in the first 5 minutes of the game. Like, you were going to get dominated last night. But watching last night's game, I kind of felt like I was watching the Minnesota series without Curry. Like, I was watching the Timberwolves series from last year, where I'm wondering if Jimmy Butler still has enough in the tank. You know, Draymond Green is trying to do all he can, but if Draymond Green's your primary scorer, you're in a lot of trouble. I guess the one difference was Kuminga's inability to score the way he did in that series last year. But like, the youngsters didn't look grown up enough. You know, they were either too old or too young. And Nikola Jokic had a triple-double, almost a triple-double in like 26 minutes. You know, so I felt like I was watching a little bit of last year's playoff series, where there were some bright spots. There were some moments where you're thinking, what can you do? But at the end of the day, you're powerless without 30.
Not only did it remind me of the Minnesota series, but it's remind me of Warriors basketball over what we're going on 4 years now. It's once Steph's out of the game, and I thought we resolved part of this with the acquisition of Jimmy Butler. Now, I'm going to give Butler the benefit of the doubt that last night he's still dealing with a nagging back. I don't know that for sure. But it looks like the Warriors over the last couple of years, that we still don't know rotations. We still, once those big three come off the floor, it's sort of like, I don't know, I'll plug and play guys that are playing well at the time. It's a rotation that's going 10, 11 deep, and nothing sort of set in stone, and understandably so, because nobody has stepped up and just simply said, you know, I'm your sixth guy, I'm your seventh guy. There's no rotation, I think, once you get beyond the big three or big four, now that Jonathan Kuminga is part of that, where you feel, and even Kuminga to a certain degree, it's the same old story, that you've got three Hall of Famers and then a bunch of guys who are sometimes good and sometimes not, and it looks as though we're headed toward the exact same scenario where they're vying for either a playoff spot or hopefully getting into a play-in. I can't see anything. It looks like the exact same MO and identity over the last 3 years.
Yeah, which was supposed to change when Jimmy got, and to be fair, it did change when Butler got here. But like, I do think that part of last season was you acquired a really fresh Jimmy Butler, right? Because he didn't play a lot of basketball with Miami. And you acquired an inspired Butler because he got out of Miami. And in the process, you were able to also inspire the other two older players on your team. Like, Curry didn't play very well the first half of the season. I think large in part because it was just hard. Like, every single night was just about him and what he's going to do to try and will the Warriors. And when Jimmy Butler got here, he got a co-star. But in a way, it's like, I don't know if for those guys there's enough on the line yet. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's hard at the beginning of the season, 10 games in, and you might say, well, they're paid $50, $60 million. Like, find some inspiration. I get that. But seriously, like, for Butler, this is what, year 14, year 15? For Curry, this is year 17. Draymond year 15. I think it's really hard for these guys to get up this early in the season. And so while I don't think that the Warriors are cooked by any means, I just think that like this is the time of year where you need your young guys to really show up and show out. And I thought they did against Sacramento. I thought for large in part they played really well. And we can get into Will Richard and all the good things that we saw. But on a night like last night, that's really where I think you're measuring the energy supplied by your young players against, to be fair, a contending team. And they just did not have enough.
I hear you, but think about the last time they won the NBA championship. They got off to that 18-2 start. So I guess there's two ways to look at it.
Well, they were also 4 years younger.
Yeah, but if you're going to want to rest or load manage your stars now and not get that big buffer early on in the season, that means it's going to be very similar to that of last year where you're going to have to just simply go hard and push the gas pedal all the way down in that last month and a half of the season. It's almost, remember last year? I mean, it was almost an inevitability that Steph Curry blew a tire and, you know, his hamstring went out on him because he won 7 games against Houston. And then that first game against Minnesota, I knew, I was just like, oh, this is not good. And sure enough, ouch, Curry's done. And you could almost see that was coming because he had stretched to the 7 games. He was so, they relied on him so much in that series against Houston. But you could even date that prior to the series against Houston where they were relying on Steph, Butler, and well as Draymond Green for a good month and a half. And that's because they had all this catching up to do. They had to get in and procure their playoff positioning. And I think that's what ultimately led to the injury of one Steph Curry. So I would push back and say that you don't want to repeat of that this year, that you would like to at least have some sort of cushion so that when you get towards the latter part of the season, you get that 10 days off or those 9 days off where you're not in that play-in game. And so I think it's important that all these games you're giving away now, there's a good chance they're going to come back and bite you in the butt later on in the season.
Well, I think you're right, but that's the needle that they have to thread. And I think like if we're looking at this week, that's the needle that they couldn't thread, right? Because clearly Curry, and I don't know if it was because of the illness. Like I was at the post-game presser on Tuesday against Phoenix, and he sounded sick as a dog. Like I understand why he didn't want to play the next night in Sacramento and why he didn't even make the trip to Denver. But clearly, whether it was the illness or the fatigue or a combination of everything, that impacted him against Milwaukee. I thought Curry was the reason down the stretch why they lost that game. He didn't play very well. Okay, so Curry's fatigued. Well, now we're trying to get one win against Phoenix, but you don't have a great chance to get the next game, and you go into Denver shorthanded. That's not a game you're going to win. Like, to me, the needle they have not been able to thread so far is the reason why they go 1-3 this week. Since the last time we spoke, it's because like the older players are kind of worn down and the younger players are, they're still just like, they're not there yet, I think. They're getting better, but you would have liked to see them go into Sacramento and win that game, I think. That would have made this week look a lot better to me because then there's like, this is going to happen again. The Warriors are going to have games where Curry's not there, maybe where Jimmy's not there, maybe when Draymond doesn't play. And that's where you're looking around the league and you're like, okay, well, back-to-backs aren't bothering that team. You know, back-to-backs aren't bothering the young guns in Portland. They're not bothering, obviously, OKC. They're not bothering a lot of other teams around the association. But they seem to bother us. And I think the Warriors are, for whatever reason, too, like when they leave Chase Center, they're just a different group. I mean, they're 1-5 on the road. All 5 of their losses have been on the road, Dan. And I don't know if that's concerning to you or just coincidence, but I just think that this week is something. It's something that I'm putting in the back pocket is concerning, should we say? Like not DEFCON 1, maybe DEFCON 4. How about that?
You said something there that I want to sort of dive into a little bit, and that is that the younger players are coming. And the younger players are taking steps, but aren't there yet. And correct me if I'm misparaphrasing you here. Will they ever get there? I mean, at what point do we have to entertain that? Because we've been buying into that slogan for going on 5 years now. Well, they're coming. At some point, they will arrive. Well, maybe that day's never going to happen. Maybe at some point, you have to step back and reevaluate that Pajemski is who Pajemski is. And Moses Moody is who Moses Moody is. He can be good at times, but for the most part, he's meh, you know. And Jonathan Kuminga, while taking steps, is still susceptible to what it is that we saw against Sacramento, where he scored a lot of points, but a lot of turnovers, a lot of mistakes, wasn't very good against Denver. At some point, you're no longer a young player with promise. You're just, you are who you are at some point. And when I think back to other players that are now going into their fifth year, Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, Keegan Murray, these guys aren't, we're not waiting for them. We're not saying, well, maybe, you know, Chet Holmgren's got to eradicate a few things, but he's still so young. He'll be good in a year or two. I'm not saying that about Paolo Banchero. You're not saying that about Cade Cunningham. Now, granted, those guys got a lot more run than, say, Kuminga or Moses Moody, but at what point do we stop saying that there is promise with these young players and have to step back and sort of reevaluate that maybe that day is never going to arrive and this is the final product?
Well, let me ask you this. How many of the young players on the Warriors do you think have star potential?
None.
I agree. So that's kind of where we're at, though. Like, I think they're...
But if they maxed out...
No, I don't think they've maxed out yet, but they're still erratic. Like, okay, so Kuminga, this is really the first time I think he's been able to play with a leash. You know, in games that are meaningful, right? Not games
where...
Well,
he's played with a leash. This is a long leash.
Well, yeah, a longer leash. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, games where you're not looking over your shoulder, and also games where... In some of them, like Curry's been in, Butler, he's playing. This is the first year. Well, Moses Moody, I think, is kind of back. Not necessarily, he's not in the doghouse, but he's on the bench. But he's starting to get more. I think more run where he's being asked to score more. Last year, he was just a point of attack defender and a 3-point shooter. Like last night, they needed him to score, and he could not buy a bucket. Kuminga played well against Sacramento in the first half, regressed a bit in the second half, and I think that impacted his game against Denver because he's trying not to turn over as much. You know, the message after that game from Kerr was, well, we got to be careful with the ball. Every possession counts. I saw him last night trying to take better care of the basketball, but he wasn't able to score while doing that. I thought he was playing too tentatively. And I think the Warriors youngsters as a whole last night, they played a little scared because that's a big boy team, and you don't have your best player, and we're just trying to kind of wade in the waters of, can we survive this quarter? Can we get through this stretch and see if we're in it at the end and then make a run? Well, if you play tentatively in Denver, that's a Nuggets team that is going to absolutely lambaste you. Like, they embarrassed them last night because the only guy, honestly, Dan, that played with any sort of aggression to me was Draymond Green. And if that's the guy that's leading you offensively, that's playing as an aggressor, that's bad news bears. You know, I think last night was a night where, yes, I was looking to see more aggression from young players, but I also was looking for someone to kind of take the lead. And that guy should be Jimmy Butler. But Butler was either, you know, kind of, they tried to take the ball out of his hands, they tried to make other people hurt them, and Jimmy, I don't think, is at the stage in his career where in that kind of game, being down the man that they were, I don't think he's at a point where he can take over a game anymore.
Well, that's not good.
But that's also not what they didn't bring him in to be that guy.
Didn't they?
They brought him in to be the co-star.
Well,
but the star wasn't out there.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. If the star isn't there, then you've got to be the guy. Like, he's got to, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he wasn't 100%. I don't know this for a fact.
But to your point, over the course of 82, when are they going to be 100%? You know what I mean? Like, there's always going to be a back or a hammy or a calf or a foot or maybe an illness. Like, I just think that the Warriors, the reason why I felt like they would struggle this season is because it'd be really hard to get the puzzle pieces to fit of everyone being healthy at the same time, you know, playing a portion of the schedule that's going to be favorable for you. Maybe it'll soften up, and look, obviously things will even out because they'll have to play, you know, they'll get some games on the back end. But for right now, the schedule has done them no favors, and I think they've come out of the gates a little flat.
The Jimmy Butler disappearance last night is really concerning if he was at 100%, because that's exactly why you got him. And also, that's a perfect opportunity, as you mentioned, for Jonathan Kuminga. But getting back to my point, like these young players, I mean, there's a part of me that yeah, they'll improve and that they're coming, but there's another part of me that's like, maybe this is as much as you're going to get. And this is who they are at the end of the day. And if that's the case, I think you need to reevaluate this basketball team. Look at they're old, Ev. There's no way of getting around this, man.
Well, yes, the last night they were young. They didn't have the 37-year-old. They didn't have the 39-year-old. They were younger.
Well, but why didn't you have them?
Because they're old.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, look, and I promised, I took the oath at the beginning of the season and
this
show
no.
that I'm not going to go that route. It's easy to pile on. They're an old basketball team. But at some, and this is the last thing I'll say in reference to they're older. At some point, Steve Kerr and Dunleavy and anybody else that's buying into this, NBA players do turn into pumpkins. It does happen. This could be the end of Al Horford. I don't know. Maybe Al Horford will find his stroke and be the Al Horford of old. Or maybe this is it. Because at some point, you do go to the pasture. This idea that, well, no, we can roll him out for another year. Crying out loud. It's Draymond. It's Steph. It's Jimmy Butler. At some point, you have to realize that it's the pumpkin patch, kids. It's over. There's nothing there anymore. And you're hanging on to yesteryear. I'm not saying that's where they're at. But I do think that, you know, you thought you were going to get Al Horford from, you know, Boston of a couple of years ago. And I hopefully he will fit into things and play better. Or maybe this is Al Horford that it's gone, baby.
He's going to shoot 20% from three the entire year. No, I think they thought they were getting the Al Horford from last year, who's a pretty good player. And he hasn't been that so far. Panic meter starting to rise on old Tito. But let me ask you this. How did they beat Denver the first time at Chase Center? What was it, second game of the season? Third game of the season? How'd they beat them?
Well, that's just it. If you're a team, if you're the Warriors and you're focused and you have your big three and they're ready to play basketball, they can still be very good. There's no doubt in my mind that they can summon for a game the sort of players that we all envision that they're capable of being. And then it's all confidence with young players. I think when you're relying on young players being at home and when you know things are going well and you're confident, confidence is everything in this league. It's the difference between getting blown out and blowing somebody. Actually, although that game went overtime, I believe.
Right? Well, my answer is Steph Curry. Like, that's how they beat Denver. He had 42 points. He scored,
was
30
Steph,
in the second half.
Was Steph making a difference last night? Are you winning that game with Steph?
No, but you're in the game.
Yeah.
I think. Like, everyone, they looked like they did not know what to do last night. And I think a big portion of that is not having their best player. You know, like, that's, again, that's just the kind of the impact that he has and why I felt like I was watching the Minnesota series all over again. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. What did you take away from this week? Was it about last night? How are you feeling about the Warriors' 5-5 start through the first 10 games? Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone here on Warriors This Week. I see you on the phone there, Pasta, but if you could, please go to Darrell, who's in Antioch. Darrell, good morning. How you doing, man? What's up?
Hey. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
I just wanted to just add, I mean, to that. I mean, it's like we're going to always constantly have this issue if we have an offense that's just built around Steph Curry. And when he doesn't play, this is what you get. It's like you can't plug a person, you know, for Steph Curry. So, I mean, it's like we don't have enough flexibility in our offense to play different styles. And that's just my take. And we're going to always have this issue going forward when Steph doesn't play. That's my take.
Thanks, Darrell. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you. You are going to have that. You talk about age all the time, but it is frustrating that this is a team that is built around someone who's going to be 38 years old in March. That's kind of the state of the Warriors. And I understand why, because he can still be really, really good. But that's where, you know, you're looking around and it's like either they're too old or they're too young. And on a night like last night, Dan, the whole two timeline experiment, it just gets exposed.
Oh, I haven't heard that all year, the timeline. I don't know. Is the offense really built around Steph Curry? I don't necessarily.
Who is it built around?
But I don't think it's built around anybody.
Draymond Green.
I don't. But it's not like they're pick and roll. They dump down to the post to Wembanyama. It's not really built around anybody. It's so freelance and it's, you know, it's so nuanced that they just, you know, there is no set plays. They go off of sort of, you know, they play off of one another. And I think that there's opportunities if you're Jonathan. You can't tell me, oh, Jonathan Kuminga, where, you know, the offense doesn't suit you, so you weren't able to score last night. I think it's so freelanced that I don't think it really handcuffs other players when he's not on there. Or he's not available. I'm talking about Steph Curry.
No, I don't think it's that it handcuffs other players and it's supposed to maximize them. But without the, like, you need the key to start the car.
Well, no, he's so good. I get it.
Like,
but
the ignition's not going to go unless you trigger it with something. And that, to me, is Curry.
But I don't see the offense schematically limiting other players because he's not there, I guess is what I mean.
No, I hear you. I don't think it's necessary. The offense is not necessarily built for one player, but he's what makes it go. I mean, it's his movement. It's his threat of being a shooter from any spot on the floor that provides space to everyone else. I mean, it's just like looking at any of the offenses that were built with kind of the same print.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Principles, right? Was the triangle really an innovative offense, or was Michael Jordan just the key to the whole thing?
Well, that's just it.
Like would Phil Jackson run a great triangle offense with the, I don't know, the 2001, was it Vancouver Grizzlies? You know, would he run a great offense with them as opposed to Shaq and Kobe? Like, you need great players to run a great offense.
Well, that's what I mean. I think it's a testament to his greatness, and I don't think it really has anything to do with the offense. It's the same thing if you take Wembanyama out of a game. It's like, well
the Suns took him out of a game.
Well, you're not very good.
Yeah. No, I'm kind of with you. All right, we got to hit a break here, but the calls are flooding in. I see you, Austin. I see you, AJ. I see you, Coach Hall. We're going to get to your calls on the other side. 888-957-9570. Also, the number for our Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Shout out to everybody in the YouTube chat. We'll read your comments as we move along here on Warriors this week. Try to figure out this 5-5 start. Is the sky falling? Is the sky falling on Golden State 10% of the way into the season? Or I guess 12 at this point. We'll talk about it. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe, Warriors this week. We're back after this.
After the 4-1 start, now finds themselves at a mere 500, 10 games in, 5 up and 5 down after getting throttled by that of the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are a good basketball team, and the Warriors just simply had no chance last night. Low energy, and understandably, right? We've talked about how anemic the offense is with the absence of Steph Curry. But what was the excuse defensively as they just were slow to switching and just had no business in that first quarter just simply getting run in the first 10 minutes? I mean, they were down double digits, 14, and then eventually ended up getting blown out by the Joker and company as Golden State, as I mentioned, now a 500 team at 5-5 on the season. Up next, it's their second date with the Indiana Pacers. You cannot lose that game. The Pacers, their fall from grace has been epic. Indiana now without, of course, Tyrese Halliburton, finds themselves in a whale of trouble as a team that is the big surprise going to the NBA Finals a year ago and eventually taking OKC to 7 games now is just one of the doormats out there in the East. You want to take some calls, Ev?
Yeah, let's get into it. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Giddings and DeVoe with you on Warriors this week. Pasta in the building as well. All right, Pasta, can we please go to Austin in San Jose? Austin, good morning, man. How you doing?
Hey, E, Dan, how you guys doing, man? Listen, great show again, as always. Great time to have this show. 5-5 after 4-1. Listen, I got a couple concerns I want to just get out. I've said at the beginning, I didn't like the signing of Horford, and I don't want to sound like I'm kind of raining on the guy because he's not playing. I didn't like it when I heard about it. I didn't think it was a good move. I didn't understand why you'd bring in a guy 39 years old. The reason why he was available, I didn't see the fit, even though I suspect the vets campaigned for it, which maybe is another issue, but I would like to see them gone younger there. Even if it was a guy that wasn't fully developed, I would like to see a big that maybe a little athletic, can do some things down low. Instead of going with an older guy like Horford, I'm worried about Horford. His body language doesn't look good. He doesn't look like he's happy. The physical part of his right body right now, there's issues there, even though Kerr said it's not an issue. That's something to watch, guys. The second area of concern is body language-wise is Buddy Hield. I called Stani the other day. I said, something's going on with Buddy, guys. I don't know whether you guys agree, but we ain't seeing the same Buddy this year that we saw last year. Something's going on. He's not happy. He's not getting to a shot the way he normally did last year. I think it's a problem with the rotation and his role right now on the team is what I suspect. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't move Buddy before the end of the year. I think it'd be good for Buddy, frankly, because he probably could go with another team and play more. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on was just the whole roster, guys. I mean, help me out with this. What are they doing with all these guards? I mean, we got Moody. We got GP2. We got Pods. We got this guy, Rich, which is, the guy, the Will is looking really good.
Yeah.
We got Seth Curry's coming in. I mean, there's too many guys, too many of the same body types, too many of the guys that really don't know. We don't really don't know what they do well. And that's the thing about last night. Last thing, guys, you talked about Denver and these other teams. The difference is when those guys are on the court, you know what you're going to get. Denver knows what they're getting from guys that come off the bench. They know what they're going to get from their starters. Each guy has a role. And that's why the Warriors won in the past, because they knew what they were getting. Yes, Steph was there. But this problem with this team is you don't know what you're getting from night to night. And that's the real issue. And then the orbit of Steph, you saw it last night. With Steph now on the court, you find out these other guys get exposed. They're not as good. Jimmy Butler is not the same Jimmy Butler that was in Miami. People, please stop telling me that's the Jimmy from Miami. It is not. So just a couple guys. Sorry to ramble on, but, yeah, I'm a little concerned. It's early, but 5-5, man, it don't look that good. That's what I got, guys. Thanks.
A lot of good stuff there, Austin. Where do you want to start? Tito? Want to start with Chivano?
Go Horford.
Well, he's been awful. I mean, he's just not been very good whatsoever. Al Horford in 131 minutes
he's
this year.
Too old.
Well, he might be. In 131 minutes this year, he's in minus 37. Like, he played well against Denver. I'll give him that. He was also a reason why I think they were able to beat Denver, because you could go a bit bigger. And he probably helps them a little bit last night, but he doesn't make a difference in a win or loss. I think that Al Horford is... I'm hoping Danny's just a slow starter, because shooting 20% from three is not going to get it done.
Pumpkin patch. Could be a pumpkin. It happens. These guys turn into pumpkins, and it's over. Here, if I was to defend Al Horford, Austin, I would say this. That he came to the Golden State Warriors, much like that of Boston, where he flourished, obviously, with Derek White, Tatum, and Brown. And that's why they got him, right? Well, he's not playing. I mean, he came here to play with Steph. And that's why Steve Kerr went and got him, because he was a fit. So they thought, with Butler and Steph and Draymond, he's a stretch five. He doesn't start, Ev. So he's playing with all these guys that he's not familiar with, and that change depends on, you know, the lineup that particular night, on who's playing well and who's not. So in defense of Al Horford, he came here to play and fit in with this legendary foundation, but he's not playing with them.
Well, he is at the end of games.
Although, sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, when those guys are available. But, like, I hear you. Against Sacramento, he had open shots.
I'm not going to defend his shot missing or making, like, or the lack thereof.
Well, it would be different if a lot of his threes were contested. I mean, on Boston, you're getting a ton of wide-open threes. You're playing with Derek White, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, at one point Porzingis, like... You're getting open shots on that team. There's not as many open shots, and maybe that's why, I don't know, if he's pressing, it's like the ones that are open have got to go down. He's only playing 20 to 25 minutes anyways. You know, he could be pressing. He also could be sluggish earlier in the year. It's harder for his body to get into shape. I don't know what it is, but Austin's correct in that the early returns of Al Horford have not been very good. As for Buddy Hield, It is becoming a bit concerning. And the biggest thing to me, Dan, is he's a shooter who's not shooting. It's one thing to miss shots. And Buddy had that stretch for, like, what, 2 months last year where he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. But he's not even taking shots. I mean, there was a stat line earlier this year. I think it was in a win. It might have been against Memphis. Like, Buddy Hield did more assists than points. Like, that can't happen. And I realize he's not playing a ton. Well, that Memphis game, he only had 2 assists, but he had 5 points in 18 minutes. Like, if Buddy Hield is on the floor, he's got to be on the floor to shoot. And it's one thing, again, to not make shots and not play well, because then Steve Kerr can just yank you. It's not your night. But when Buddy's out there on a night like that, you have to shoot the ball. And he just seems kind of hesitant right now.
I'm not worried about Buddy. And I'm not the biggest Buddy Hield fan, but I think he's fine. This is who he is.
We're getting close to calling him Chivano again.
He's a weird dude. It's like he went through a month and a half stretch where it's like, what happened to you? Remember in the beginning of the season, he couldn't miss, and everybody was on Buddy Hield, the Buddy Hield wagon? And then all of a sudden, he disappears, and we're like, oh, God. And not only did he disappear, but if you watched him last night, he's smoking layups, and defensively... Did you see what Aaron Gordon did to him on the crossover? One of the nastiest crossovers I've ever seen. And Buddy Hield just simply got posterized. I just think he's a weird cat, man. He gets into a funk. He is, you know who he is? He's a prototypical sixth man that when you got it going, you got it cooking, ride him. And then when he doesn't, he's bad. When he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he's bad. And I think he's just off to a bad stretch. But at some point, the Buddy Hield of old will resurface. But this is what you get when you have a streaky player.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
And you're investing in someone like that of a Buddy Hield.
Well, you said something I think is appropriate for Buddy, right? He's a sixth man. But now you got me thinking. What do you give me for this? The Warriors have too many sixth men.
I agree.
Like, if you look at the profile of a lot of these players on even the Warriors, but other teams too, they would be sixth men. I mean, last year, I think he's been elevated to a starter because he's played well, but you could swap Moses Moody or Jonathan Kuminga in for one another, and the other would be a sixth man. Buddy Hield is a sixth man. Brandon Podziemski is probably a sixth man. There's a lot of sixth men on this team, and a lot of them on different nights have to go out and start for you. I mean, D'Anthony Melton profiles as a potential sixth man. Quentin Post might be a sixth man. Al Horford is the oldest man, but he's the sixth man. Like, they have so many guys on this team that you'd say, all right, if we're bringing them off the bench and they're getting regular minutes, they can help us a little bit. But they all kind of profiles that guy outside of the big three. And I think that also, well, it means your roster's a little flawed, number one, but it also means it's hard to get all of those guys going at the same time. And I guess on a night like last night, that's what I was kind of frustrated. Denver's not a great defensive team. They're long and they're big, but they're not a great defensive team. And the Warriors just really struggled to generate any semblance of offense outside of guys knocking down some shots. I mean, like three-pointers from Draymond. You had really their best unit involved Pat Spencer. And that's a guy that, I don't know if you believe in him, Dan, but to me, when Pat Spencer's out there, it's generally because things are not going well.
That's not an NBA player. It's just not. I like Pat Spencer, but that, when I see him, it's like, that's not an NBA player that should be getting regular minutes on a good basketball team. There's no way. And really quick, before we get to the phone lines, because we're getting stacked up here, last night, you know why they had no offenses? Because they needed someone to create. And this is a problem there is when Steph Curry isn't available. Who's going to create offense? Who can get to the rim and who can have a defense collapse on them? That's two guys. It's Jimmy Butler who can go ISO, and then it's Jonathan Kuminga. Jonathan Kuminga has been good, but in games like that, Steve Kerr's got to say, all right, young fella, you want to stay a Warrior or you want the long-term contract, you want a max deal, whatever it is, go tonight, go take us home, create something out of nothing. You know, we'll give you one side of the floor, get to the rim. And if they, you know, you draw a double, then kick. And then all of a sudden, if you're kicking, because people have to collapse and help out, well, guess what? Buddy Hield's open. And Buddy Hield can be Buddy Hield. All he needs is a couple of jump shots, and things begin to flow. But you need someone to puncture a defense, and you need someone to create. And that's what Jimmy Butler's there to do. And that is what Jonathan Kuminga is supposed to do when Steph Curry isn't there and you don't have that offense. Who are you going to rely on? Well, it's supposed to be Jonathan Kuminga, who's supposed to be that guy who can get his shot and get to the rim. And we didn't see it last night.
All right, let's go to AJ in L.A. He's been hanging on patiently. AJ, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Yes, sir. It's your neighborhood, I told you so. Yeah, I mean, the last caller pretty much summed up Al Horford. I probably called you guys maybe a month or two, and like, and I told you the same thing. Al Horford and Melton, trash. So no, I don't even know why you're even pursuing that. I mean, the Warriors hung up Melton jersey in the rafters after five games, gave Melton the credit for Buddy Hield, who was lights out for those five games that Melton played. So I'll add in another sixth man you forgot about, Jimmy Butler. Let me tell you who Jimmy Butler was. Jimmy Butler was essentially Andre Iguodala when the Warriors got him, and they made him a sixth man. Jimmy Butler is not a $60 million guy, which means he's three to four times better than Jonathan Kuminga. I'll tell you what, he's probably a shade better than Jonathan Kuminga, simply on playmaking alone. And the reason why I called, though, I'm not going to bash the young guys. I probably bash Pods and Gee and all this, but you can't really bash the young guys, because the guys who really failed the young guys are these old vets. These guys, I mean, your best ability is availability. They're not even available for them. And I'll tell you what, The sky is not necessarily falling. The sky failed the moment the Warriors gave Steve Kerr the keys to basketball operations. You know he has it, because you got 10 guards on your team, and they're all connectors. These are all Steve Kerr guys. The entire roster is full of connectors, minus a few. Your Jonathan Kumingas, your Moses Moody, who are Bob Meyer guys, you know. I mean, this organization should probably pull the rug from underneath this thing. You need to try to figure out how you're going to get up out of $60 million from Jimmy Butler, because that's really handcuffing your organization. Not only that $60 million, but Draymond Green's 30. That's $90 million. You got $90 million tied up in two guys who can't even help your team in a moment when you don't have your icon and Chef Curry. And we saw that in the playoffs last year. So you saw the glimpse of $90 million tied up in two players who couldn't get you over the hump, okay? When Steph was down, that was the purpose for getting Jimmy Butler, right? The guy who could kind of carry you through some of the craziness when, you know, we know Steph Curry, who missed 3.5 seasons of his career in injury, so you know he's going to be out. That's what he do. He get banged up. So you need someone to carry the torch. You don't really have that with this in this team. And when it's all under, when it's all bad, we find ourselves blaming these young guys who probably shouldn't be in this position.
I got you.
And I'll leave you with this also.
Yep.
I'll leave you with this,
okay.
I'll get up out of here. I can't understand why this organization is so fascinated about putting players in their wrong positions and angry because you can't get nothing done. It's too many guys that's out of position. I've seen Buddy Hield play small four. What the hell is going on here?
I got you, AJ. Yeah, no, I appreciate the call. We got to get some other people in there, though. Some good points. Dan, you want to respond to him?
On what? No, I understand the frustration.
Yeah.
But, yeah, appreciate it, AJ. What the hell is AJ doing down in L.A., by the way?
A lot of people live in L.A. What do you mean? What's he doing in L.A.? What are 15 million people doing in L.A.?
Well, they're calling into Lakers stations.
Oh, but he's a Warriors fan. Right. You know what? Actually, I am glad to hear that AJ is a Warriors fan in L.A. because we got a lot of Lakers fans here in the Bay, Dan.
By the way, at some point, we got to start throwing the Lakers their flowers, as hard as that is to do, man.
I didn't think they were going to be bad this year.
I did.
Oh, you did? Oh, well, I thought the Clippers were going to be better, and they look awful. Although, with the Warriors, and I got to give you your flowers, like, I don't think it's a coincidence that the two oldest teams in the NBA look the way they've looked out of the gates. You know, Al Horford looks like Brook Lopez. I don't know if you watched any Clippers games, but Brook Lopez is just a stiff. Kawhi Leonard's been unavailable sometimes. And I think they lost to Phoenix the other night, where they just didn't have any dudes on the floor. Now, they don't actually have any young players. I think their youngest guy's like, I don't know, Chris Dunn? I don't know. I mean, they just don't have any youth. So, but to AJ's point, I understand what he's saying as far as the older guys failing the younger guys. You know, on a night like last night, that's where you want Jimmy Butler to step up. But he just can't do it anymore. I just don't think
he can do it. He has to pick his spots.
Well, yeah, but last night we needed to do it for 35 minutes. You can't just do it for two. You know, there's not just a couple possessions where we need you to don the Batman cape. Like, Jimmy, we need you to go out there and place to the point where we don't get absolutely smoked.
Before we get to another question, I'm sorry, did you?
Huh? Nothing. No, I was looking at something, sorry.
I do want to, listen, I think AJ makes a good point about Steve Kerr. Now, look, that's a low-hanging fruit. We don't want to go after Steve Kerr, but, you know, there is always sort of like, he's got to get guys that fit the Warrior way. Like, we do it differently. We're synonymous with championships. The Anthony Melton, somebody we covet. You know, we got to get, you know, forget about Valanciunas. We want a stretch five. We want Horford. We want a smart basketball player, because that's who we are. We do things our way. We're head and shoulders above. There's a twinkle in our eye. You know, the Lakers just say, give me Laravia. Give me Smart. Give me. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, go get sometimes the best available younger talent as opposed to, you know, guys that fit in to what it is that Steve Kerr and his secret sauce that he's brewed up, you know, fit into that sort of mode.
Well, they got some bucket getters. By the way, speaking of stretch fives, you see Jonas Valanciunas step out and slingshot a couple of threes in last night? You tell me the Warriors couldn't use that?
Hey, you know, Denver, you talk about additions. They did exactly what it is that they needed to do, and that is get a bench. Although Cam Johnson, I mean, maybe in defense of Al Horford, when you're going to a new team, it just takes a while, right? You're acclimating yourself. Look at Cam Johnson. He's been terrible.
He's been terrible offensively, but last night, like, and this is something too, it's the one thing that Michael Porter Jr. did not do consistently was defend. Cameron Johnson defends, and he's 6'8". I think he also allows Aaron Gordon to have more of a focal role offensively, which is probably the way, like, he was a more consistent player than MPJ was last year anyways. All right, let's go to Coach Hall, who's in San Diego. Coach Hall, thanks for hanging on, man. We appreciate you. Welcome to Warriors This Week.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think one thing that hasn't been said is I think JK is still kind of playing timid. He's been playing great this season, but I see a lot of flashes where it's like he'll pass up a shot or he won't be ultra aggressive. Just like it's like it's in the back of his mind that he's scared of messing up. That's one factor that I'm seeing. And then another factor is I just think we got a lot of guys out of position. I don't want to see Buddy Hield bringing the ball up court. I don't want to see Pods passing it to Buddy on a fast break. It always ends in a turnover or something clunky. We just I don't know what happened between the beginning of the season and in the last few games, but it just looks like a lot of guys out of position. And if Steph Curry is the recipe for success, I think we're off to a bad start. And that's unfair to him to put all of that on a 37-year-old aging guard, where he's pretty much carried the franchise for, you know, the last 15 years. I don't understand why we pay Jimmy Butler all of this money and we're getting minimum output. Same thing with Draymond. The offense is terrible. So I think we're in the bad spot, but I think they need to feature JK more, and that way he can unlock himself and stop thinking about getting benched and playing, you know, through those mistakes.
I appreciate that, Coach Hall. I think we could use that in the past. I don't think JK is getting benched this year.
Like, I'm with you.
So to be fair, like, I don't think we can use that excuse anymore of he's playing timid because he's looking over his shoulders. I think last night he just wasn't aggressive, which, by the way, is going to happen. Like, players are going to have bad nights. Kuminga's not going to score 25 every single night. I thought he played a really good first half against Sacramento. I think then he started to turn the ball over, you know, committed a couple fouls. It was a clunky second half because he was on the bench because he was in foul trouble, didn't have his rhythm. And I think because of that second half, I saw that carry over into Friday's game where Coach Hall's right. He was playing timid. And if you're playing timid against a Denver Nuggets team at home, they're gonna expose you a bit.
Well, if he's playing timid, that's on Jonathan Kuminga. It has nothing to do with Steve Kerr anymore. Steve Kerr has said, okay, I'm not playing you enough. Here you go. You're starting. You've got minutes. Stop looking my way because you're going to get run. So the timidity thing, that's on you, buddy. You have every opportunity to go ahead and carry us without Steph Curry. Score. And he wasn't even being aggressive last night. That's all on Jonathan Kuminga. That's if you're being timid, Jonathan Kuminga, well then stop. Stop being timid. It has nothing to do with anybody else but you. Whatever's going on between your ears. And yeah, so
I felt like he was playing not to turn it over. And on a night like last night, like you don't have a point guard out there. Like their best point guard was Pat Spencer. And I think it was Austin that brought it up. AJ kind of touched on it. And I agree with him. This team has, it's not that they have too many guards, but they have too many guards that can't create for anyone. Like they have too many, I don't know if you want to call it connectors. Like they have guys that if there's someone, and you were talking about this too, who can break down a defense, who can beat their man off the dribble, well, then you have players that know where to go with the ball, kind of like the intermediary pieces between the person who drives and the person who finishes, whether it's a score from, you know, a three-point shot or maybe a lob. Like, they have those guys. They have a lot of connecting pieces, but they don't have any initiating pieces. And that's where, like, everyone's been talking about DeAnthony Melton coming back, and I don't think he's trash, like AJ said. I don't think that at all. But DeAnthony Melton's not going to step in and change wholesale what's happening to me. Like, I actually think that Will Richard has been basically what you want from DeAnthony Melton. A guy that can cut, a guy that can defend, a guy that can knock down a couple shots, a guy that gives you energy and hustle. Also, DeAnthony Melton's injury prone, so odds are he's probably going to get hurt at some point this year. But like the Warriors, they don't have reinforcements coming. They got to figure out what they can do with this particular roster.
But I think really quick before we get to the break, the caller makes a good point that DeAnthony Melton is sort of the poster child of somebody that is coveted by Steve Kerr. As opposed to just going and getting the best talent that's available, no, we like the way DeAnthony Melton plays and fits into our system. And I think at some point, you just got to say, we need young talent. Like Will Richard, play him. Let's not do this again, coach. Let's not go through this song and dance. He's clearly a guy that has got young legs and is a two-way player and has got energy and is exactly what it is that you need. Let's not start getting cute and saying, well, I'm not going to play him against this matchup. Play the young man. You don't have depth and you don't have guys like that. You don't have the luxury of bringing him along because he's a rookie. No, just go see what it is that Cedric Coward's doing or see what it is that VJ Edgecombe's doing or Dylan Harper, all these young players who are getting run in their first year with good basketball teams. You should be doing the same with Will Richard. Don't get all in the weeds and start getting funky with his minutes and playing him and not playing him. No, dude, you don't have talent, and he's a guy who can fill it up. Play the guy.
He has been playing. All right.
But he's not in the rotation. He was last night.
He played like 30. He started against Sacramento.
But I'm, you know what I'm saying. He's still like in that, you know, there are games where he disappears.
Well, we can talk about it. I think there's kind of a logjam that he's involved in, which is kind of an issue with the roster, too. 888-957-9570 is the number. I see a coach in Vallejo, Bobby Sushi. Sushi, Steve. This early in the morning, Sush. I'll look forward to your call on the other side. Warriors this week continues. Getting to the bone back after this.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke.
and a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.